Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are again on this Tuesday doing another one of these Unplugged shows for April 24th. Right after Apple came out with their numbers, which is the big news, of course. And, you know, if we were thinking of not doing the show, we can't not do the show on when Apple comes out with their numbers. They're way up on everything. Stock went, I guess, after hours, went past 600. Total revenue in the country, in China, tripled. And that's without the iPad.
Amazing.
And so here's what I heard. They had on one of the TV talk, the market shows on, I think this was on Bloomberg, they had some guy on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and here's what they, you know, one of the traders. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, he expected Apple numbers to be big, but he felt this guy, and the funny thing about traders, and I've actually known a couple personally, is they have a totally different sense of things, because their job is to, even though this is a dying art, they have a feeling, mm-hmm. kind of a gut feeling about stuff. And he believes that Apple, which seems to be bearing out, that the numbers will be good, and they'll be probably better than projected, but because the stock had fallen back below 600 down to whatever it hit, he feels that a lot of the people that were in Apple felt burned by that, because they were in it for the thing to ride up forever. And they were annoyed, but that they missed getting out when they could have in the 600s and then maybe bought back later. He believed, this guy, this floor guy, that the stock is going to go up after these numbers, and then all these people that felt bad about not getting out that first time, they're going to all get out, and the thing is going to get pounded.
So let me get this straight. The people had the stock. They let it run up. They thought it was going to go up forever. It goes down. They're mad they didn't sell. Now when it goes back up, they're going to sell because they thought they should have sold before.
Yes, that's exactly, in a nutshell, that's what he thinks, yeah.
Then the other side of the coin is, those guys that didn't get in earlier and started dropping down and were mad at themselves for not getting in, buy because they thought that they should have before, and they're mad at themselves for not getting in. And when it goes up, they keep on buying because they don't want to miss the next ride.
That would be logical, yeah.
And then the other alternative
oh, no.
is that all these floor guys and these guys on TV are totally full of shit.
Well, I think we know that, but...
Yeah.
Well, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to, for the benefit of us having to follow this theory, I am going to short Apple.
Ooh.
Not tomorrow.
Okay.
But the day after tomorrow.
So on Thursday.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. A lot of people are talking about actually shorting it. Let me give you some detail, some color.
By the way, I have to say, let me preface that short with I shorted Apple before, and it didn't work out. And but it's like my Netflix shorts, which never worked out either. Eventually, I'll get the hang of it.
So that Netflix short that you got that you made a ton of money on, that's never going to die. We're never going to let that one go. And it's going to revive itself every so often.
You know,
I think it should. It was wonderful.
I didn't have that many huge hits. You know, so the Apple one is the one I have. I still think Apple is the short of the decade someday.
Of course, someday when finally somebody comes out with a competing product.
Yeah, but right now, I think it might be
anywhere.
A short-term thing.
Come on, I've told you this. Go anywhere and start looking around. Everybody, it's like it's spooky. Everybody has an iPhone, and those people who don't have an iPhone want an iPhone.
Well,
and I mean, except for you,
I'm an Android user.
All right, so some good.
Although I've been using the Windows 7 phone,
Windows 8.
Well, it's a 7, phone 7.
Okay. Right. You like it?
No. I mean, I like the hardware. I like the Nokia hardware. It's fantastic, but this operating system, I mean, it's good. It works, and it's got the phone itself is great, but that's really the hardware more than it is Microsoft. No, they missed the boat completely. This thing has got all kinds of issues. It's a Zune, for one thing. That's the problem.
And you don't like the Zune. We know that. Let me give you some color on this Apple, on what happened with Apple. Yeah. First of all, there's some amazing numbers actually here. Mac units they sold on the Macintosh computers, they sold 4 million for the quarter, up 7%, which is pretty good. Speaking of
considering
the fact that supposedly PCs are dead. And when you look at PCs, you're talking about those too, right? You're talking about the hardware. PCs are not only PCs for Windows. It's both sides. Then you got the second quarter iPad sales were up 11.8 million. 11.8 million for the quarter, up 151% year over year.
Yeah, three times more iPads than computers.
Amazing. Which goes to show you the cannibalism size of things and what's happening there. Why many of these companies are scrambling around and why the cloud plays are doing so well. Why the streaming is doing so well. Why the companies that are involved in that and the peripherals. iPhones, 35 million units, up 88%. That's tremendous. It's tremendous. It's ridiculous. I remember when they were hoping to sell 10 million, period. Remember that? Gross margins, 47.4%, up about 3%. So they even did better on their margins. Their net income was $11.6 billion. They have another $10 billion in cash sitting in the bank on top of the 100 they had before, now $110 billion.
Hmm. Too much cash. They're holding too much cash.
Too much cash. Yeah, that's the reason you should short them. Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Total revenue of $39.2 billion. Now, Apple was down, I think, the last ten of 11 days. And there was a lot of concern given the numbers from Qualcomm and some of the companies that supply some of the parts and Verizon that iPhone sales weren't there. Now, I got to tell you something. In order to move Apple, you can't just be some retail guy selling 100 shares. You know, you got to be pounding it. And a lot of shares traded hands over the last 2 weeks. And there's a lot of worry going into this number. The shares were about 560 below the 50-day average right before the announcement came out. I will tell you that we sold a chunk of shares, one of the last parts, about 50% of what we owned, at about 600, 598 I think it was. Came down. We bought it back and doubled our position, only about 2.5% or so percent in the portfolio, to about at about 572. That was last Thursday, I think. And now it's at 603 after hours. Now, one thing you have to consider. The numbers were good. They did guide conservatively, or they guided much lower for next quarter than they did than expectations. Now, the previous quarter, they did this just the opposite. Very unlike Apple. Apple usually did the old Microsoft sandbagging.
Right.
Where they would say, okay, we had a great quarter, but next quarter we're not so sure.
Oh, yeah, we're lucky to be alive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, things could really go down. It's going to be horrible. Nobody's going to be buying. And, you know, we'll squeak by. And then they come out and they beat it and say, it was better than we thought. But next quarter again, you know, we're worried about. Well, last quarter was the first time. As a matter of fact, I think last quarter was the first time that the report came out with without Steve Jobs, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting how there was a change in the dynamic of the quarterly report and earnings call and the outlook. This quarter, they went back to the old sandbagging. Or at least that's what the thinking is. But they did guide lower, and there are still some backlogs of iPads. There's still some backlog of product, and they still have things. But they still have things that are good, but they did definitely draw down their expectations. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But you think that it's probably going to be maybe some realization hitting in, as well as the fact that maybe...
Well, sell on good news. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
So what I might want to do when we get to this part of the show is go long tomorrow. You know, the switcheroo that we've done so often too much, you know, often works.
By the way, that's a very sophisticated investor terminology there. Mm-hmm.
So
old school.
The switcheroo, you put it in, you go long, and then you get out short.
Right.
You don't just sell, you get out short, which because we actually can't buy and sell stocks in our game because it has to be automated. So when you're in, unless you've set up a switcheroo like this, you got to be in some position rather than let the computer kick us off.
Now, usually our switcheroos are only two, in and out and things. Can we do like a triple or quadruple switcheroo? Is that possible?
I don't know that you could work one out that would work.
Hmm.
I think it's too risky.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to be in and out. It's like calling stuff in advance. You know, I want to buy it on Tuesday, sell it on Thursday, buy it on Monday. I mean, you could do that if you thought that was – I mean, you'd have to be awfully good to pull that one off. I mean, the regular switcheroo itself is pretty risky, even though we've hit him a couple of times.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, talking about buying it on Monday and selling it on Tuesday and then, you know, waiting for next Thursday and market timing in a very weird manner, I do know some people that do that. As a matter of fact, there's a guy whose name is Larry Williams. He projected in the beginning of this year, prior to the beginning of this year, he came out with his yearly forecast, which is pretty incredible. Somebody come out with a yearly game plan.
Yes.
Right? Mm. So he says, okay, buy in the beginning of the year, go long and be hard into the first quarter. April 20th is when everything switches around. I'm not kidding about this either. April 20th is where you want to switch over and you want to get out and maybe go short or at least get away from the market.
Hmm.
Pretty amazing. Something happened to do with the Bradley number. You ever hear of this? Seriously, you ever hear of this?
I have, actually.
I was very shocked when I saw this. He's not really – there's a couple other guys that are into the Bradley number. Can you explain it or is it
– It's a cycle. It's just a cycle. And it's based on something. I don't – I haven't really – it's not one of the numbers I really like because it doesn't follow what I think. So – and it's more it's something of a short – it's stock, a very short-term thing.
Yeah, it's a stock market cycle – something called the Bradley.
It's a
number
very short-term cycle. That's not, I'm more interested in long. My personal study is the long-term cycles. I'm now working on the Roman Empire in 33 AD had a stock market or had an economic crash. I'm trying to fit that into the whole thing.
Hmm. Well, don't do too much data mining on that one.
Well, you know, it's just a. It could be.
Do you do interviews with that, or you just go by historical?
Not much
reference?
You can do.
Well, anyway, so with the Apple effect, we call this the Apple Halo effect. You may see some stocks moving over the next couple of days because they saw this. Now, one of them would be Zag because of the covers and various iPhone jackets and
you
iPhone,
and Zag, iPhone. Yes.
You should see it was up like 5% after hours. Mm-hmm. OVTI. OVTI is a maker of the cameras for these devices.
Oh, right. OVTI.
Yeah, OmniVision Technologies.
Let me look at that
one. Then you got Qualcomm. They have chips. SIMO, Silicon Motion. They make some of the processors and various things that go into these mobile devices as well. A few others that you'll see. You may see some boost go on with that and the peripherals. So that would be interesting. I mean, if you see those kind of iPhone numbers... You know, oftentimes people are buying cases for their iPhones. It could be from a variety of different places, but
OVTI is an interesting stock. It looks like a buy.
Yeah, we like OVTI. We like it a lot. A lot of short interest in there, too. So when it moves, it moves.
Yeah, it's sitting around 1767, and it's been as high recently as 35.
Yeah,
36, actually.
It got cracked after there was some scuttlebutt that the... Well, actually, it wasn't scuttlebutt. It was true. When the new cameras came out for the last iPhone, I believe it was the iPhone. It was a Sony. It was not the OVTI, and then they switched back. The thing is, that's interesting is that Apple,
you're talking about the 4S.
Maybe it was the 4S.
So they had the 4S.
Maybe it was the 4. Maybe it was the 4. One, I think it was the 4, not the 4S.
The 4S has got a great camera in it. I mean, an amazingly great camera.
When did it? You look at the date that it was that big drop, where you see OVTI took that big drop. That was the day that the announcement came when they did the breakdown of
there's
the iPhone.
They found here. They had a huge drop, July in August it pounded, and then it dropped again late. Looks like 1st of September, and then it dropped hugely again. This is in the 11, and then it took a then the big. Whammo was in looks like November. 13th, 14th, and then it went
down. That must have been the 4S. That must have been the 4S.
$11.
But then they found out that it was going to be used in the they were still being used in iPads and other models. So anyway, it came back. Interesting. Netflix, do you see what happened there? Oh, that was ugly.
I heard about it. I didn't follow it much.
Yeah, Netflix came out with earnings. Now, Netflix, if you recall, went down to as low as 60-ish and went as high as about 130. Netflix came out with their earnings, and in fact, their earnings looked pretty good. They beat on most metrics, and their outlook was pretty good. They had some commitment to going back to profitability very soon, much sooner, about two quarters sooner than they anticipated. All things look good. The only problems you had were that their international revenue from streaming was not as up to par, and there was the cost factor. This is really interesting. The cost factors associated with streaming, you wouldn't think this, was incredibly high compared to the cost factors associated with the DVDs. The DVD, you know, where they send things out and mail to you, their gross margins are humongous on that. Whereas the streaming, which again, you would say, oh, well, streaming is a pretty inexpensive thing once you get it going, right? Well, the infrastructure costs and the cost to do so are so high that their margins were soft.
Hmm.
And a side note, did you ever see the statistic that something like some ridiculous number, like 25% of all internet traffic is from Netflix?
I thought it was like more like 70.
It's something ridiculous.
No, it's really high. I think it's like something like 70%.
Really?
I remember the number going around, and it was very high. It was like frightening. It's only during certain hours. I mean, it's not like all day. But I think after 6 o'clock or something, the Netflix numbers take over the internet.
Well, I have Netflix.
Or maybe it's streaming in general that accounts for that. Whatever the case is,
it's ridiculous.
It's very high.
I have Netflix. And I, once again, just the other day, tried my best. I really did. I tried to find a movie to watch. It's the worst. It is honestly the worst. There's nothing to watch.
You're not trying hard enough.
Oh, I got to dig deeper, I guess. I can't find a Woody Allen movie. I tried.
I remember maybe it was on the Roku box, and I don't know what system they were hooked to. I vaguely remember going through a Netflix catalog and finding lots of Woody Allen movies.
Maybe I spelled Woody wrong. I don't know. Hmm. But I couldn't find anything. The only thing I found with Woody was Toy Soldiers. Or Toy Story. You know, Woody's one of the characters in Toy Story.
Well, that doesn't really count.
Well, obviously. So anyway, so the shares were down pretty sharply. They were down 4% before the announcement came out. They were down 13% after the report was out.
Down 14.
Yep. And again, the report came in good, but the metrics were problematic. I think that we will probably see a bit of a snapback here. I went actually long at the low point, approximately the low point, about 90. It went down to about 86, I think, or 85 after hours. But we went long twice at about 90 and about 86.50. And we have a small long position on that. And I think that for a short-term trade, that's going to be interesting. We're actually going to put that on the list tonight.
Oh, you're going to go long Netflix on the list.
Have you ever heard me say that?
No.
Nope. I probably will never say it again either, but...
52-week range, Netflix, 62
yeah.
to 304.
Wow.
So it's got a lot of range.
Yeah. A lot of range.
A lot of possibilities.
A lot of possibilities. But one of the things that was, I guess, interesting about the report and what I read was that even though there's all this competition now, you know, from all the various players, it really didn't hurt that badly their total subscription base, which I thought was interesting. And I guess that translates to the fact that more people are utilizing streaming overall. They may not be capturing the lion's share of it like they used to, but they're still keeping it up pretty well. Now, I'm not saying I'm in love with Netflix by any means or anything like that, but for a short term where it can go back to 100, I'll take it.
Well, yeah, if it could do that.
Yep. Baidu is out with earnings. Lots of earnings. This is a gigantic week of earnings. Baidu, the Chinese internet company, the Google of China, came out with earnings. This is a high flyer that has been just on a performance tear.
Yeah.
Trading about 125. Now, remember something. They did a 10-for-1 split. So it's really 1,200.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like, what was I thinking?
I remember when it came out at 80. And I think we sold it at 150, and I thought I was a hero.
Yeah. Well, you weren't.
Not at all. I'm tar on the bottom of a shoe. And Baidu came out very poor numbers in terms of their outlook. I mean, they did well on the current. They beat. Their metrics across the board were good. But I got to tell you something. I had to do a double take when I saw their outlook. They were significantly under estimates, which already had been reduced.
Mm.
I remember something. You have to remember something very important about this quarter, that there was a very big reduction in estimates over the last several months. If you look back at the beginning of the year, there was about a 20% increase overall looked for to be coming from the S&P 500 earnings. Yeah, some companies more than others, et cetera. But generally speaking, 20% overall, quarter over quarter from a year ago, earnings growth. It's only 5%, the expectations now. They really, really dropped those numbers. So beats, when you see a one cent beat, not so exciting.
No.
Not so exciting.
Yeah.
So I think that we have to look at a company like Sina, who has been under a lot of pressure lately. They have the Weibo. It's the Twitter. Everybody, you know, they copy everything. So we have the Google of China, which is Baidu. We have the Twitter of China, which is Weibo. And Weibo, one of the big problems they have, whereas Twitter, everybody says everything. They talk about the government poorly. They talk about any of the new. Well, the problem is in China, they're not so. They don't take too well to dissing the government.
No, it's not their style.
No, they don't like when you say anything that's not what they want you to say as it is, right?
Pretty much.
So they have this situation where now they're having people register their real name so they can find you. In other words, you have to actually put up all sorts of maybe proof of who you are before you actually get an account. So therefore, that's probably going to prohibit you from saying things that are too derogatory against the government. And that's a big issue because one of the things they're worried about is the social media coming together and creating like the Arab Spring, but in Asia and in China. And they're trying to kind of, you know, keep that as a low profile situation. So Sina's been under a lot of pressure there because they make some money from that. But now that we see the Baidu numbers out, Sina is going to be probably seeing some of that brunt of the downside. And there is a big downside for Sina. I mean, down to the 40s from about 50 and change.
Hmm.
So that will be on the list also.
All right.
Giving you an early preview.
Yeah, we get this list is getting big again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That means we're making money on things.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Yep.
All right, what else we got?
Yep, what else we got? Let's see. Eco of the U.S. is soft, continuing. Okay, confidence edging down. Second straight month. This is that Tuesday where things kind of turn around and do some strange things. The last Tuesday of the month where we had the Case-Shiller numbers, which came in softer on a year-over-year basis, unadjusted. We saw the consumer confidence down a bit. So housing prices up a little bit. That was good. But we have also the FOMC meeting that is going to finish up tomorrow, a 12:15 announcement, a 2:30 conference meeting with Bernanke, you know, a press conference.
Oh, this should be good for a laugh.
It's so amazing how the world hangs on every little twitch of his lip.
And he's got twitches. He's got like a Tourette's or something.
He's got trillions of dollars that's hanging the balance of everything he says. I'd have a twitch too.
Oh, well, that could explain it.
Right. I mean, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands, so to speak.
Yeah, well.
You think that guy has trouble sleeping? Seriously.
He probably takes drugs. That's why he's twitching so much. He takes a couple. He probably takes some downers to go to sleep. Or maybe he drinks a lot. That would probably help you get to sleep.
He's got to do something. You can't,
he doesn't really go to sleep. He passes out. Let's say that.
He must have some serious parties with Greenspan. Can you imagine them all sitting around?
Oh, Greenspan.
Hanging around, yeah. Talking about this stuff?
Yeah, talking about Ayn Rand.
Nice.
And that Greenspan was, you know, Ayn Rand's protege.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
But for Atlas Shrugged?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, no, Greenspan's a huge Ayn Rand nut.
Mm.
And then, you know.
That's kind of scary, isn't it? Isn't that kind of scary?
It's bothersome.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem to. I mean, you know, I don't know if that really fits the guy that's running all the money to be kind of looking at end of world economic catastrophes and all, right?
It's not comforting.
No.
It's not the kind of thing you want to think about.
Right, it's like the guy that's handling all the. It would be like the guy that's handling the entire militia, you know, being looking up to, what's his name? Getz? No, not Getz.
Getz.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Well, no, but yeah.
You know, the guy that's or a serial killer.
Yeah.
That's strange. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Yield on the Spanish bonds continue to increase. Bonds on the Italian side also the same thing. But the IMF got a whopping $430 billion from a variety of countries, not the United States. Wink, wink.
Yeah, well, that's funny because the last No Agenda show I'd recommend people listen to for this segment because Adam actually made it one of his specialties of the show. One thing, the 430 was just pledges. And when they show where all the pledges came from, that don't add up to 430. They add up to like 370. So the whole thing is very sketchy. So
well, $200 million was from Europe. So Europe is giving money to the IMF.
No, it's pledged.
Europe. Pledged. Sorry. This is like a. This is like a, this. That's what we need. That's it. We need a telethon for Europe.
Just pledge.
We need a telethon with timpanis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So $430 billion supposedly to fight the crisis. Now here's what's troubling to me. About 3 months ago, 4 months ago, there was about $1 trillion that was created out of thin air, pushed into the system in Europe, right? To calm all the situations, to plug the holes in the banks, to help out the sovereign nations and all that. And that was, woohoo, that was good.
Right.
Why do we need another 430 all of a sudden?
I mean, that's just a pledge.
Oh, the pledge. Okay. So, okay.
I have no idea.
You know what? I think we should do our part here.
We should pledge the money.
Yeah, I'm going to do it
it's
for
like
you.
It's like pledging together. To public broadcasting.
Yeah. I pledge. Yeah, it's right. Maybe
I think
you can get
Ted Turner like pledged $1 billion or something once, and then they called him on it. He says, "Yeah, you know, I changed my mind."
Yeah, we're going to pledge. John and I are going to pledge $5 billion.
Yeah,
we pledge $5 billion. We'd like a copy of whatever particular exercise tape they're giving away for that. Or a toaster or whatever it is. But we pledged $5 billion. I hope you all join in, by the way. Good
yeah,
cause.
Just pledge
good
what cause. You have, what you can.
Yeah. China leading indicators are softening. Last night, there was a really very quick and dirty drop of the Shenzhen Shanghai Index. The leading indicators came in soft after the HSBC manufacturing number, which is called the Flash Index, came in on Sunday night. Still in contraction zone. The Shenzhen dropped 3.5% in a matter of, I don't know, 25 minutes. And it was because their leading indicators and their overall economy are slowing down pretty significantly. We talked about this with a guy named Das on the Discipline Investor podcast, talking about, you know, where's the problem in China, where everybody talks about, oh, it's the housing, the housing, the housing. Not so much the housing. It's the problem that you have with the lack of manufacturing that's going on, and most of that is due to Europe. Good chunk of that's due to Europe. So the one of
yeah,
the biggest
they're not getting orders,
right? I mean, simple as that, right?
They basically filled the pipelines and sold what they can or whatever they're going to sell, and people bought it. I mean, most of the stuff China sells is it's not like agricultural goods where you have to eat every day. It's stuff you buy and you don't need to buy it again. You know, junk
until it breaks. Until
things
it breaks.
Like well, yeah, like bells, you know, little things like that.
Is your bell made in China? Is your whistle? What about your whistle?
The slide whistle is made by American whistle manufacturing. It's an American-made product.
That's probably why it sounds so good.
Well,
it has the original sound. It has that thrust.
It's got a. It's a. It's not a Chinese product. The Chinese product would probably be better.
You have a harmonica?
I do actually. I don't have it here.
Kazoo?
I do have a kazoo. It's Jews one of the things I do have a Jew's harp. It's true. Boing, boing, boing. I find the Jew's harp very hard to play.
Yeah, well, as you know, we make it to screw around with the non-Jews.
Yeah, well, that must be.
Mad cow disease is back. Seems that California, your state there, is found the first case of mad cow disease. And already the cattle futures dropped off a cliff today, which is kind of weird, you would think. Why would cattle futures drop? You think futures should be up because there's now
because they have to cull.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and then things would go up in price.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. Inventory down, prices up. Unless, I don't know. It just was very, unless they figure that nobody's going to, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, Korea stopped already any shipments from U.S. cattle. Japan said, no problem. Why should Japan care? You know why? Let me tell you why. When that mad cow disease gets there, it's going to be nuked anyway. So yeah, it's going to be clear. It's going to be irradiated.
Yeah, gamma radiation kills everything.
Right. So Japan says, just let it in.
What's
seriously.
The worry?
What's the worry? What's going to happen? How bad going to be? So, although I guess that's kind of an interesting move by Japan, probably doing that, risking the importation of potential bad beef because they want to make sure that on the way out, the potential for the rice products and all the things they have that could be tainted doesn't get stopped by any borders outside. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's a quid pro quo.
You like that?
Yeah, that actually explains it. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's going on right now. And now cattle futures seem to have popped back up in the overnight. But I don't know where this is going to go, what's going to happen. When's the last time we had mad cow?
It was at least 5 or 6, 7, 8 years ago. It was a while.
And what happens? I mean, so they have to cull it because it spreads. Is it harmful to humans?
Yeah, it's a prions, I think, that cause it. And if you eat the, especially the tail, or the any of the anything that has to do with the brain, because it's a brain thing. If you eat cow brain, or if you eat cow
tail. Who eats cow
tail?
Well,
I think a lot of people eat the marrow and bones, and I think it contains these prions. And these prions give you make your brain turn into mush and you go crazy.
Are you one of those veal shank ossobuco?
No, I don't. In fact, that's one of the reasons I never eat veal shank or ossobuco.
Really?
Because I don't like the idea of just knowing that about the mad cow is enough to turn me off from that stuff.
I never understood the whole small spoon eating the marrow.
I like marrow and a good bone, I have to say. It's very tasty.
Really?
Yeah, suck it out. And you get the chunk in your mouth. And you chew it.
That's how you do it with snails. You ever eat snails?
Yeah, I love snails. Good snail. Yeah. Good Burgundian snails. Fantastic.
Facebook. There's some interesting things happening there. Facebook's earnings decline. They had a recent earnings release, pre-IPO or still private. And they saw a pretty significant decrease in their overall earnings. And some of that has to do with some of the expenses they have. And boy, do they have some expenses. They paid $1 billion for, what was it called? Instaprint? No, Instaphoto?
Instagram.
Instagram. They paid, what's it, 13 employees, I think?
12.
12 employees, no income, no revenue, and $1 billion. I don't know how they came up with that valuation, and my understanding is that Zuckerberg did this without any kind of board discussion.
Well, I have a theory. I wrote about it. I've talked about it. I believe that Google had their eyes on this product, and they were going to pay $500 million just to get 33 million Facebook users, because everybody who uses Instagram is a Facebook guy. And that's why, you know, that doesn't really make sense for Facebook to buy them, except as a blocking. It's like a blocking patent, only it's a blocking takeover. So they blocked it so Google wouldn't get these 33 million people, which have a net worth of, you know, each person, I guess, is valued at such and such. It's too high. I think the whole thing's a fiasco. I think it's ludicrous. It was stupid. And I'm more than glad to cheer the 12 people that now will be multimillionaires, a couple of billionaires, I guess. Or no, I'm sorry, a couple of 100 millionaires. Whatever the case is, good for them. It's not a zero-sum game. It's like money.
I think this thing started like 3 years ago at best.
No, I don't think that. I don't think it was. Well, maybe.
Maybe 2 years ago.
It wasn't very old. It was a short-term deal. Yeah, this caught on. For some reason, people liked it. And a lot of people complained about it as being idiotic. And I think it's kind of idiotic, but, you know, so what, you know, let Zuckerberg start throwing money away. It's going to be great.
Well, he did. He just spent another $550.
Yeah, for a bunch of patents that Microsoft bought from AOL.
Last week.
Yeah, yeah. He's going crazy.
Last week. I think he's on tilt. Seriously. What's
ding,
going
ding,
on?
Ding, ding, ding,
a billion and a half dollars. I mean, that's
yeah,
that's
this is another this was another defensive move. Apparently, Yahoo has suing Facebook over 10 patents on social media, and it was incumbent upon Facebook to get – they're suing, counter-suing on some other stuff, but they didn't have the hammer. And so somebody looked at the patents that Microsoft bought from AOL, and they said, look, if we have these patents, we can pound these guys over at Yahoo. And so he bought the patents.
And that solves two problems for Microsoft. That gives Microsoft – a better relationship with Facebook, which they have a big share of to begin with.
Yeah.
And the second thing is it continues to drive a nail in the coffin of Yahoo, who pissed them off, although
they're partners. What kind of partners is what kind of a partner is Microsoft, who got Yahoo to abandon its search engine strategies to use Bing and now just stab them in the back if that's what this is all about? I don't think this is very good.
I think it's a big plan. I think that they're still mad about the Yang syndrome.
Yang's gone.
I know. It's just part of the bigger plan. That was part of the plan, too.
Well, they're going to have to buy Yahoo then, but they'll buy them at some, like, you know, what's the trading at now? 16 still, or what is
it? It's pretty low, yeah. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's pretty low. Let's take a look. And Yahoo then laid off another 2,000 people, and, you know, just last week or so, it's at 1543.
Yeah, same. It's just floating around between 15 and 17 max. Yeah, it's not going anywhere. It's dead money.
Yep. Seems that way. Until somebody buys them for $50, who knows? You know, they go with these crazy numbers of buying.
Could happen.
Yep. So they also did they pushed back the IPO, it looks like, or it looks like they're potentially going to push it back.
What, the Facebook?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Deadpools out there saying they're never going to do the IPO and this whole thing's a scam.
Really?
There's money on the line. I know people that are betting on this, that they're not going to do an IPO.
And why would they go through the shenanigans to do this? It would be what? To force a valuation? What?
No idea. All I know is that people are betting on the... I think there is going to be an IPO. I think it's they've got crazy books that they have to work with that are problematic. And they got government entanglements that are problematic. And...
they have 900 million users.
Yeah, well, I don't know how serious all those users are, but yeah.
Do you know? We've talked about this.
That's
I think.
The number.
Do you know how you get those likes? You know, you put on your Facebook
click
page.
Likes,
I guess that you have likes.
Recommended likes. Yeah.
Do you know how you get those likes?
Yeah, you put a little piece of code on your page.
Right, and somebody clicks it and says like 1, 5,
yeah,
10, whatever.
Gets the right? Number, yeah.
So you get a lot of likes. That means, boy, you're liked. People like this, right?
I guess.
You ever notice how crappy web pages have like 5,000 likes?
Yeah, this all is a scam.
Yeah, I'll tell
how
you
many
it
likes
is.
does our show have? None.
No,
two.
No. Yeah. Well, it's from one from me and one from you.
Yeah.
The thing is,
and I don't even use Facebook, but you know.
But do you know that you can buy likes?
Oh, you can buy likes.
Go on Google right now and type in buy likes, and see what happens.
All right, buy likes. See, I don't think these likes are important. BoostSocialMedia.net. Buy likes. Why buy Boost Social Media Services? 10 sites to buy Facebook fans, friends, and likes.
For like $29, you could buy like 500 likes.
Ah, it's a steal.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I guess they have. So here's what you have to
here's
have.
The pack.
I think
2,000 targeted fans, $149. It's a two-pack.
So you get all these fans that really aren't your fans, but they
use social
buy them.
Facebook marketing, starting with only $197. They bring you 1,000 brand new targeted Facebook fans. That's too high, by the way. For $8,997.30 as a limited time offer, they get you 250,000 brand new targeted and real Facebook fans to your existing account.
So obviously, there's a bunch of people that are in the business, individuals, you know, like you and I, that says, okay, I'll like somebody, just pay me 50 cents. And I'll like all these sites.
Well, let's see. It would be, if it was 10 cents for 1,000, that would cost 10,000. Let's see. 990, we got to be like, it's, you get like, was it 2 cents, 3 cents? No, 20 cents. You get 20 cents, approximately 20 cents for liking something. So if you did 100, 200 a day, you can make, you know, some money.
Right. So you have all these people doing that who just like your site and, you know, just put you on there. And then, oh, the whole thing is ridiculous.
You probably get a little every day you get a message with a bunch of places you have to go like. You know, you get an email. And then you click on all of them, like. And you get a check for, you know, $50.
So the whole point is, and I'm sure they also have boiler rooms with people that just have Facebook accounts.
Well, and think about India.
Right.
Load up. You can, for a penny, they'll click on like.
But my point is that does that also mean that a lot of the people on Facebook are bogus? Seriously, a lot of the count that they're doing
I
is
I think it's
be
a
bogus.
House of cards. House of cards. I've always thought this.
People are just too interested in sharing their stuff and stalking others.
It's a house of cards, and this proves it. I never thought about this, but I know you can buy Twitter followers, which are cheaper, by the way, than this.
Why would you want to have Twitter followers that you buy? Who are you talking to?
It's just it's because there's a whole group of people with these big numbers that they've jacked up, and oh, I have more. It's like the guys, you know, the rich guys who buy the yacht, and there's a story that's going around that I forget, it was Buffett or somebody had their yacht, and Paul Allen pulled his yacht up, and he looked, and his yacht was 1 foot shorter. So he went out and bought a super yacht because he couldn't live with the fact that his yacht was a foot short.
Could you just put like an anchor on the end or something?
It's just, we could have added, you know, a big naked a big, mermaid.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
So, but it's like the same thing with followers. You know, somebody, you've only got like 90,000 followers. I got 1.2 million. You know, it makes you feel like a jerk.
The whole thing, it's
a house of cards.
It's self-promotion masturbation.
It's worse than the old days of the vanity page where people, before blogging, there was these vanity pages. People put up a website and then they just, you know, they'd code it themselves and it would be all about them and their cat.
Is there anything worse than MySpace? I could never read a page on MySpace.
I thought LiveJournal was pretty cheesy.
Yeah, that just with the
but Live, and, yeah, MySpace probably took it to the extreme with all those animated GIFs and the cat running back and forth and the mailbox opening and closing and the glowing happy birthday and the cake with all the candles and wiggling. Yeah, probably.
People had
and then music playing constantly. Whatever page you hit, somebody's playing some song that you don't like.
That is so. What a great description of a MySpace page. And with the stars falling and rain going.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's a mess.
Color. Oh, that was terrible. It's like it's a horror show for epilepsy.
It's a horror show. That's what it is.
Let's see what else is going on here. Okay. So here's something from the cool factor, I think. There was an event at the Seattle Museum of Flight. And the group with all these high mucky mugs from National Aeronautics and Space Administration, they have a series of low-cost, in quote, low-cost series of spacecraft that is going to mine near-Earth asteroids for water and metals, thus bringing natural resources of space within humanity's economic sphere of influence.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to chop up these asteroids for their various materials.
Yeah, this is Larry Page, the CEO of Google, and Eric Schmidt, who I noticed that I'm looking at FinViz, and he has just sold like $11 million worth of Google stock, Schmidt has. He did two transactions, and I don't quite get what was going on here. He did on April 24th, and which is that today.
Yeah.
He sold 500 shares of Google and then sold 19,500 shares. So I assume there was a fat finger or something involved here on these two trades.
No, it probably was something to do with maybe an under 20,000 reporting, or he's not allowed to sell 20,000 at a clip.
Oh, maximum. That's right. It's 20,000. Exactly. He's
so,
probably got,
you know,
some gotta
be something there.
Right. Because the number would add up to 20,000. So
it's like when you go to the bank, you're going to draw 9,900.
Yeah. Right. So he took out two trades instead, 500 and 1950. Well, I guess that law really works.
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe that's part of this. This is the stupidest thing I've heard for a long time, this idea.
What kind of water is in outer space? No oxygen.
Water is water.
There's no oxygen. How do you have water?
They're not going for water. They're going for rare earths.
They said water. Asteroids for water and metals.
I don't know what the water thing is, unless it's heavy water or something you can use for something else. I don't know what the water deal is.
But they're going to go for metals of some sort. They're going to go send out some kind of a unit.
Apparently, they can send a probe. Here's the theory. You can send out probes or you can do some analysis and you can tell what the asteroid's made of, what's in there. So it could be a solid gold asteroid the size of Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can have that. And so you just chop the pieces off and you ship them back down.
And you ship these down how? I'm sorry, this is not an asteroid that's anywhere near.
No, you're not bringing the asteroid back. You're just going to take chunks of it. Yeah, and you're going to send the pieces back somehow.
In one shovel full at a time?
This is the problem.
You have a big caterpillar.
I think they've got a problem on their hands because you can't just shoot the pieces back because they're going to land anywhere. And if a big piece of gold lands in my backyard, I'm keeping it.
Right.
So that's out. And the likelihood of the thing not blowing, you know, just completely vaporizing when it hits the atmosphere is pretty low. So that's going to happen too. So that's not going to work. So they're going to have to put these things in some sort of a space truck and then they're going to have to send the truck back, and they have to put some parachutes on the truck and somehow get it back and then claim it before it lands in someone's backyard. I mean, I guarantee if it lands in Russia, they're not giving it back. So I think this whole thing is just complete insanity.
Maybe a very, very long conveyor belt. Maybe by the time they get this going, what do they call that from Star Trek? You know, a transporter?
Yeah. I'm told that this whole idea is not new, and it was based on the possibilities of the space elevator actually working, which was a dumb idea too, because it was just didn't make any logical sense that something like this could work. And they have the space elevator ideas, but they've given up on. So I don't know. I think the whole thing's just a waste of money.
The problem is that let's say they do have a fantastic. Well, by the way, we did discontinue the space shuttle missions, right? It's gone. It's over.
Yeah.
So even if we did perfect that and we loaded up the bay with all sorts of material, that's still not a lot compared to the size of the asteroid. You know, the amount of mining that goes on for various material and the gigantic truckloads that schlep it back and forth. We're talking about lots of big stuff, right? So even if they find an asteroid that has all this stuff, forget about the time it would take to get it back, just in getting it back, then keeping the asteroid in constant orbit appropriately where it is and all that stuff. I mean, they could do all they want for the money. They'll never get the stuff back.
I think I've thought about this. It's crazy. I can't imagine. I would love to see the presentation that somebody came up with that convinced these guys to part with their hard-earned cash, to go ahead with this project, because it has to be hilarious.
Yeah, I can't.
And Eric Schmidt is like a scientist. You know, he's not like a slouch of a, you know, thinker. So he had to look at it and go, well, makes nothing but sense. It's a gold mine in the sky. We could make fortunes with this, even though he's already got a fortune. But, you know, I guess these guys.
In theory, by the way, in theory, if it is mineable, hey, great idea. I just can't see him getting it back. That's the only thing I'm saying. I just don't. They can't lasso it and bring it back with them.
No, and they can't unless they could land somehow, spend the time outfitting the asteroid with rockets and computers and then flying it in.
For a smooth landing.
And land it in one of the places where the old shuttle used to land, you know, down in the desert. And just you put some wheels on this big boulder. Yeah, put some big wheels on it and then land the sucker. And then you got it. You got the thing right there. You can just chop away at it. Now, unless they do that, which, you know, if you think about it, is a possibility. It'd be fun to see it landing.
Yeah, I think the idea.
And it wouldn't make any difference if it caught on fire on the way down or anything. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah, it would be a mess.
Somebody had to drive it, I guess. Maybe it shouldn't catch on fire.
Now that job would be interesting. a little driver on the top of this thing coming in for a landing. Rock number one. Oh, boy. All right. So personal finance guru, quote, unquote, guru, Susie Orman.
Oh,
she announced today on Twitter that she is severing her relationship with the Money Navigator, a market timing newsletter whose performance claims were questioned by the Wall Street Journal this year. And the newsletter is edited by a guy named Mark Grimaldi, a money manager in Wappinger Falls, New York, who made several assertions about his track record that didn't appear to be supported by the evidence. Now, what's really interesting is that Susie Orman, who says never sell, just buy, has something to do with this market timing letter to begin with.
I'm sure.
Talk about a money. There's only bad words I can think after this.
Money whore.
Yeah, that was one of them. There's a few others, but that will suffice. I mean, just amazing. You know, she puts out these books that, I mean, listen, people that like Susie love Susie. They love her. She's fabulous. But, you know, I don't get the whole thing. And she's not on CNBC anymore, I don't think. She's definitely, I don't know. I think she's relegated to the, you know, the last time I saw her, she was on some kind of an infomercial somewhere.
Well, she was a good salesperson. She went from PBS. She had all those bogus shows all the time.
Right.
And she had, you know, the huge tan and those ridiculously white teeth.
And the leather jackets.
The leather jackets. And she's an out lesbian, by the way, so it's not like a big surprise.
Oh, well, that just puts the... Oh, that's terrible.
Well, it explains the jackets. Oh, it doesn't bother me that much. But the jacket, I mean, the whole look and feel, it was just, to me, it was kind of, it was too creepy. And then she wormed her way into CNBC somehow to have this basically do the same thing with a new market. It was a different market. And then she finally got kicked off of there, and she went to, now she's just doing infomercials, I think.
I think she
still has a radio show. Could be wrong.
I'm happy that she's done a radio
show. I never liked anything she had to say, and I didn't like her presentation. I didn't like those leather jackets.
Right. Yeah. I'll tell you, the woman. All right, Intel. This I want to ask you about. Well, actually, a couple of things I want to ask you about. Intel, the new Ivy Bridge chip. You're familiar with this?
Yeah.
It's what's the big hoopdo? They came out with some announcement tonight. They're gonna. They're very thin. It's very small. Just a few.
Well, it's more chips per wafer, with the same power or more power actually, and so it's a moneymaker for Intel because those chips are extremely well designed.
It's amazing that they can make these chips with it's 22 billionths of a meter each.
Yeah, 22 nanometers.
That's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty
amazing. How do they get people to handle those? Like, they have small, very small people with small fingers? What do they do?
Midgets.
Well, if they can make chips that size that do all of that work, there is still a chance for the asteroid car.
The asteroid plane.
Yeah.
Put a couple of fins on it, you fly it in.
I mean, they are obviously aerodynamic. They fly. So something's got to be good with those things.
There's no aero involved is the reason they fly.
Mm-hmm. Google Drive, this was announced recently, and now it's becoming, I guess, they're going to roll this out slowly.
Yeah, it's not even as good a deal as you get with, what's that one everyone uses, Box?
Dropbox. Love Dropbox. Love it. I love it so much I actually did a post on it, which I never do.
Oh.
I was just in a loving Dropbox moment.
Yeah, Dropbox is a good product. And it's not as good a deal as Dropbox, so it's going to fail.
Why isn't it good? You get a free 5 gigs or something.
Yeah, I think with Dropbox you get more.
Oh.
It's not as feature rich. It's not as good.
If you use Dropbox and you refer a friend, and you do it through their form or something like that, you get 500 megabytes more per friend, up to, like, I don't know, another 5 or 6 gigabytes.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah.
I should blog that and refer a bunch of people.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is coming out, and they say it's the new docs, new design, new thing, new look. It's going to do all sorts of wonderful things. You could email directly from there. There's going to be a fax, something fax there. You could use it for a fax machine.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. So it's very
modern.
Drive.google.com. Now, the other thing I want to mention is Walmart, caught in a little bit of a bribery situation. Did you see about this?
Yeah.
So it seems that in Mexico, which the Mexican government says, hey, we're not involved, it's a local situation. This seems to be a matter of course of business. But I guess the $26 million, which they're saying, was not quite the level
it's
of bribes.
It's against the law in the United States to do that.
No,
somebody's got to go to jail.
People are already resigning.
Yeah, well.
Walmart stock is just cratering.
Well, it's going to be a good buy.
I would think once this goes away and everything does go away, nobody ever gets hurt.
Yeah, nobody will go to jail. These guys will get too big.
It'll be big news for a few weeks, and then it'll just be swept right under the carpet. That's what happens.
We've noticed.
Yeah, man. What are they going to do? So what are you going to have? You're going to have the senators and congressmen say, hey, you're bad because you took bribes? Hello?
No, it's pathetic. The whole system is corrupted at this point.
So I guess they opened up maybe 20 or so stores down there, got fast-tracked. And
and it was like all of a sudden their biggest retailer or something in Mexico or something like that. Some ridiculous stuff happened.
I wonder who rang the bell on that one.
Probably one of their competitors. So their stock was down to 48, and so 62, and it's going down. It's down to 58. I wonder if that's a decent short.
I mean, it was down again today. I mean, you'd see this probably pop when the market comes up a little bit here, if it does. But, yeah, that's and the earnings will come out. We'll see what happens there. But their earnings should be relatively solid, And this is a major cash cow. So right now it's just people are pissed off about the whole thing. Listen, look what happened with BP. You remember that?
Yeah.
BP stock got slammed.
Yeah.
It came right back.
Yeah. Hmm.
You got to wait till the thing settles out a little bit. Then it goes down a little bit more from there and then pick it up. And everybody's freaking out, totally like, oh, my God. What's going to happen to Walmart? You fine them $1 billion. What's that going to do?
Nothing.
Fine them $2 billion. What's that going to do?
Zip.
All right. So there you go. They'll just raise their price a little bit.
You got to throw some people in jail to have any effect.
It's not going to happen. Nobody goes to jail. The jails are too crowded, it seems.
Yeah, the jails are too crowded. Nobody goes there anymore.
The MF Global guy, there was a set of hearings going on again about this. Karzai, you think Karzai's going to... You don't even see his name in news anymore.
The guy should be in jail now.
It's ridiculous. The guy, from every indication, he overtly broke the rules and was beyond risk factors that were even allowable by any human being. I mean, ridiculous. So he was in the Senate hearings, lots of finger pointing, everybody saying, oh, why do you do this? And, you know, these guys asking these stupid questions in the Senate, you know, the Congress, just, you know, in this whole inquiry panel they're doing. And where is that going to go? I give it a week. Nobody's going to talk about it. I mean, I'm not saying that to be, you know, saying it as a skeptic in that or scorned. It's just the facts.
Yeah, no, it's pathetic. Yep. So a couple other issues I want to mention before we go to the stocks. What happened with Big Lots?
Yeah, they got
pounded.
Little Lots. Their earnings were just awful. I mean, their outlook was just horrible.
You think it's a good short?
I mean, there's a lot of good shorts there. I'd look for something just topping out, not that took the crash already. I mean, just find something that's kind of rolling over. Like Buffalo Wild Wings, we shorted about 3 or 4 days ago. And we recommended taking a look at that to our subscribers on alerts. And they came out with earnings. Actually, it was weird. They came out with earnings before the market closed today, which was odd. And they were down about 6%, 7% at the close after they released their earnings. Their same store sales were kind of, you know, not up to par. And their outlook was not, you know, they said they're going to do okay, but it didn't look so good. Their costs were much higher for chicken, about 50% increase in their chicken from a year ago. And there's a gigantic, you know, you see these stocks that gap up really nice. They come up once they come down, man, they come down. So they're going to kind of be in play there. You know,
what's the symbol on them?
BWLD. See that gigantic move up with a like kind of a big gap area?
Yeah,
That potentially has a chance to fill here. I mean, there's a lot of names coming out that are potential shorts. I mean, you want to pick stuff off the bottom, like Juniper was up 10% after the earnings came out. You want to get the stuff on the top these days. In this kind of market condition, you get the stuff that's topping out, and then, you know, people are just going to run for the hills if markets start to kind of come in a little bit.
Okay, well, let's take a look at our stocks.
Okay, let's go over here. And this is, as always mentioning, this is a not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. This is just fun and games with John and Andrew. And we pick some stocks and take a look at how they perform, what's going on, what's not going on, and maybe some ideas for you to kind of do more research, clients or of Horowitz Company, or maybe even John or myself will own some of these stocks. They'll be noted if they are. And use caution because investing in stocks is a very dangerous game. So I have two. I'm going to mention. I mentioned Cena short, and
they're not on here.
They'll be on there. I'll put them on there. Cena short was the one I mentioned that will be going on there, and Netflix long. Dum da dum dum.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now let's take a look at a few things. First of all, your Opka Health. You only bought it because the guy that's owns a thing is buying it every single day.
Yep.
That's a 4.5% in a week.
Finally. It looks like I was going to lose on that one, but that's caught up. So the two insider buying stocks that I've invested in are Icon Enterprises up 28, and this one now is finally up.
Tremendous.
So that's not a bad strategy.
So far so good.
Yeah.
So far so good. We got stopped out of ITT Educational Services. They, you know, what happened there was it gets moved up a bit and then came back. But what happened was that now they're once again looking into the for-profit educational and saying, you know what, taxpayer dollars are not going to be used for this anymore. At least that's the talk. So Congress is getting involved. Questcor Pharmaceuticals came out with earnings this evening. Great earnings. I mean, blew out earnings, and the numbers look really good. We'll see. It was up about 3 or 4% after hours, went down 11%, then it finished up flat after hours. That doesn't really trade that often, but I will tell you that above this 41 range or so is kind of short squeeze territory. So we'll see what happens there. But the earnings came out very, very good. We've had them on for, oh, we've had them on since last earnings, actually. That's up, what, 19%?
Yeah.
Hewlett-Packard is just doing nothing and staying down on the bottom. Medical marijuana is getting burned.
I was smoked by that stock.
Yeah, exactly.
I think now's the time to buy it.
Where is it now? 5 cents?
Yeah.
Stop at
nickel.
Three?
Maybe pick some
3 cents.
Might
you can buy 100 shares for $5.
$5. Right. I could buy a block.
You may be the heavy buyer for the day.
It turns out I own the place, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be knocking on the door. Hey, Mr. Dvorak, I understand you're owner of this medical marijuana operation. You're under arrest.
Yeah. Goldman Sachs was up a bit today, although the short is playing out nicely. They have their earnings were questionable. There also was another investigation that is opening up into additional insider trading with them. They just can't get out of the hot seat, these guys. Pretty sad. What are you putting on? Anything?
Yeah, the Apple.
Oh, Apple short. Yes, I will put
that
on.
I'm
going
to go long, no long. Going long, Apple.
Let's put this on. Apple, AAPL. I'm just going to put this on here so I know. I'm going to write my notes here. Okay, long on open.
Yeah.
Wednesday. Okay, then we're going to do Apple. And we're going to do short. You're going to do short on close Wednesday or short on open Thursday?
Short on open Thursday.
Open Thursday. Okay. Got it. Okay. And I'll have Netflix on there as a long and Cena on there as a short. Anybody could view this if you want. It's a live Google spreadsheet under the old Google Docs. And that's available. Just go over to DH Unplugged and simply go down to the show notes and see where it says weekly stock spreadsheet. Click there, and this is a live updating little ditty that we get. We bring in all the data from Google. Pretty cool stuff. Well,
yeah.
That's all I have, sir.
That's about it. I think we'll look forward to see what happens next week. Anything coming up that we need to be aware of?
Oh, yeah. You have the Fed talking tomorrow. You have the continuation of the European saga, which is not getting any better. You got the collapse of the...
It's amazing.
You have collapses of governments again, I think in... where was it now? It's Denmark? No. It was another collapse of the government. I'm trying to think where it was.
I think it wasn't it Holland?
Yeah, Holland.
Yeah.
And you also have Nicolas Sarkozy. Looks like he's going to be ousted.
About time.
Another
now
leader.
They're going to put a socialist in.
Yeah, that's going to be ugly.
Well,
and then you have lots of earnings coming up, some big earnings that are continuing to flow in. And then what do we have? We have something at the end of the week. We have some Michigan sentiment. Oh, GDP numbers, some adjusted GDP numbers at the end of the week. So all in all, there's a very busy week of information. I think in closing, if you would kindly close the show with a little tune on your slide whistle, I think that would be really good.
I think it would be crummy, but I'll...
Yeah. Amazing how you have that so close at hand when I said that, actually.
The slide whistle is by the podcasting setup here. So I always
Really?
Have this. It's right next to the bell, which is right there.
Oh,
this
right.
is for the other show I do. People should listen to it if they don't already, which is the... No Agenda Show at noagendashow.com.
Are you still doing the five minutes?
What I do now, I do the X3 show and the Generation X3 show, which is very entertaining because it's millennials, which have their perspective on things that is alien to anything you and I could possibly imagine.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's like,
check that out.
Ooh, okay. Anyway, so it's X3 show. .mevio.com or generationx3.mevio.com or generationx3.com. I think we have that URL.
I think that's all available on the Dvorak RSS.
You can get it on. It should be. I think. I don't know about the Generation X stuff, but on channeldvorak.com we got most of that stuff listed.
Neat. Cool stuff. All right. Well, I'll see you next week. I look forward to it.
Adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.